I appreciate that. She can make a singer sound all right. Amen. I appreciate that. Appreciate Mrs. Hickman. Well, it's good to be back with you, Grace Baptist Church. You're a part of our ministry, as you know. I like what Paul said to the church at Corinth. He said, when he wrote his prayer letter to the church at Corinth, Paul said, "For we are laborers together with Christ." You're God's husbandry. You're God's building, Paul said. He's talking about that relationship, that partnership, literally is what it is, between a church, the local church, whom God gave the mission to take the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And needless to say, we can look around today and know that the time for our task is short. As one old preacher used to say, the time is late, the task is great, and souls can't wait. Amen? And that's where we are today. Well, we are with All Points Baptist Mission. This is my wife, Kim. Next month we'll celebrate, actually it's just a little over a month, we'll celebrate 40 years together. Amen? Somebody needs to give her a medal on the way out. Appreciate that. Shake her hand and say, "How in the world did you do that for 40 years? And she'll give you the recipe. Amen? But she's been my partner in this thing for many, many years, and I praise the Lord for her. Love her with all my heart. She's not just my wife, she's my dearest friend. Amen? And I'm proud to have her with me today. We are missionaries to the U.S. Military Chaplaincy, as your pastor said, with All Points Baptist Mission, sent out of Bible Baptist Fellowship Church just down the road here in Gypsy, West Virginia. Pastor's Dr. George Heitman. All Points Baptist Mission, as most of you may be aware, is not a mission board. We are a local church ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church in New Philadelphia, Ohio. And as such, and you can praise the Lord for this, we are the only independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church in America that is approved by the Department of Defense to be an official ecclesiastical endorser for U.S. military chaplains. Now that ought to excite you in these last days, amen, that we have literally, think about it, in the day and age in which we live, the government's blessing to put Bible-believing Baptist preachers into the military as chaplains with complete freedom in our military to evangelize. I often get asked when we go to churches, "Do you pray in Jesus' name?" I don't know what other name we'd pray in, amen? It's the only name under heaven that I know of given among men whereby we must be saved. Yeah, we pray in Jesus' name, and we are able to preach and to counsel according to the complete tenets of the Word of God. And so we're grateful for that. As far as I know, as far as Brother Morrison, our director, knows, I'm the only local church-supported missionary according to the Bible. As the Bible commands missionaries to be sent out of the local church, I'm the only missionary in the United States who does this. There are others who are endorsers, but they are paid staff members. They are salaried through conglomerates or church groups or denominational groups, as it may. As far as we know, I am the only local church, 100% dependent upon you folks and local churches like you across America to support this ministry. And we praise the Lord for that. We think that distinction is exciting, but it also is a great opportunity for us to get our gospel into the military. I'd love to say so much about that, but I want to get into the message. But let me just say this. God is doing much in spite of all that's going around us in these last couple of years. Last year we had a young man who grew up in Liberia. Young man grew up in Liberia during the Civil War back in the early 2000s. His father was Muslim. His mother was not Muslim, but because of her father's religion, he pretty much had to follow along with whatever he did. The country's civil war divided the family and indeed the nation, and him and his mother were able to escape out of Liberia into West Africa. Through a contact that they had, they made it over to New Jersey in the United States, began to learn the English language. One day, Daniel Kamara, who grew up in Liberia, father was a Muslim, was in a local restaurant, I believe as the story was told, and he picked up a gospel tract. It wasn't given to him, it's just one he found laying on a table. He picked it up and read the gospel tract. The next week, he happened to go to an independent Baptist church just down the road from where he lived and got saved by God's grace. He served in the church, got busy for God. God called him to preach. And as of last June, he will be our next Air Force chaplain, Daniel Kamara from Liberia. Only God can do that. Amen. And we praise the Lord. You all are a part of that ministry. And so, as your pastor said, that's fruit that will abound to your account. We've seen more people saved in our military through our chaplains in the past year than any calendar year I can remember, and we praise God for that. We added three new chaplains, including Daniel Kamara last year. I've only done that one other calendar year where we added three new chaplains. We would have had four, but Brother Evan Kernighan, we couldn't get his interview in. All those schedules just didn't line up, and we couldn't interview until January, so we approved him. But we now have 27 chaplains. I've never had 27. Amen, by God's grace. And we just began, got our first chaplain from a young man right down the road here at Bible Baptist Temple in Stonewood, Jason Wilhelm. About a month ago, I preached his commissioning service at Bible Baptist Temple, and he will become our first ever hospital chaplain. Hospital chaplains now require a lot of the same requirements that military chaplains must have. Master's degree, you have to have an endorser, a lot of the same kind of requirements that military chaplains must have. He'll complete his master's degree next month, and in August, September, I should say, he and his family will be moving to Springfield, Missouri, and he will become take up his residency in his first hospital at Mercy Hospital in Springfield, Missouri, will be our first ever hospital chaplain. There are a lot of big cities across America that have first responder chaplains, hospital chaplains, police chaplains, fire department chaplains, that kind of things, EMTs, that are looking for training like we offer at All Points Baptist Mission. Imagine being able to send chaplains into our first responder units in our hospitals where people are dying and going into eternity and taking the gospel of Jesus Christ there. So the ministry has expanded even to that, and you all are a part of that, and we appreciate that. So just wanted to bring you up to date on some of that. I did give Pastor, we just got a brand new brochure hot off the press. You want to get it. It's even got a camouflage cover on it. Praise God. If you love military stuff, that ought to attract you along. Just a brochure about the chaplaincy ministry, how it is that our chaplains have the freedom that they enjoy, and so forth. And if you have any questions, you can ask your pastor, and he knows how to get a hold of me. Amen. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have regarding the ministry. Well, that's just a quick update on what we're doing, and I'm glad you're having Missions Emphasis Month. May I say to you before we get into the message, church, that God gave us one command. Jesus' last command before he left this earth and ascended into heaven. You can read it at the end of Matthew in chapter 28, and Mark 16, and Luke 24, John 21. You can find it in Acts 1 in the moments before he ascended into heaven. The last command Jesus Christ gave his church was, go ye therefore. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16 says. He says that we are to, the Holy Spirit would come upon us after he ascended into heaven, that the Holy Spirit would come upon us. Why? We'd receive power from the Holy Spirit. Why? That ye may be witnesses unto me. Both in Jerusalem, for you that's Bridgeport, West Virginia. And in Judea, that's the rest of the state of West Virginia. And in unto Samaria, that's the forgotten peoples of the world. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. The only command Jesus Christ gave us, church, was to go tell them about him. That's it. Now, I'm not against church socials. I love them. Hey, let's have food. Let's play games. I love to cut up and have fun with, like any other Baptist. Amen? But that's not, may I say to you, that's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to tell people about Jesus Christ. The church is not a humanitarian organization. I'm not against doing humanitarian things. But the church is not a humanitarian organization. Boy, it's getting awful quiet in here. Don't make me feel like I'm preaching a funeral this morning. Amen? Jesus Christ is alive. Isn't that right? Amen. We ought to act like it. So praise God that this church, your pastor in this church, has the vision to spend the next month emphasizing what God gave us to do. And that's to go tell the world about Jesus Christ. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of 1 John. Not the Gospel of John, but in the epistles toward the end of your New Testament. You have 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. We'll be in 1 John this morning. May I say to you, the entire Bible is a missions book. The entire Bible. It's a book about missions. My wife has heard me preach missions from Genesis chapter 1. Entire missions conferences from one verse out of Genesis chapter 1. You'll find missions in Exodus, Leviticus, all the way through Revelation. It's a book about missions. For man, God made man in his own image. Isn't that right? And then, what's quiet in here? Y'all need to warm it up for me. I preach a lot shorter if you shout amen. Oh, they're rolling in the aisles now. Amen. Praise God. Man fell in the garden though, didn't he? Man sinned in the garden. The Bible says, for as by one man, Romans chapter 5, for as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, Because all have sinned, isn't that right? And God, from before the foundation of the world, in other words, before He spoke that sun that we see shining so brilliantly this morning, before He spoke the grass and the trees and the birds and you and I into existence, God had a plan. Isn't that amazing? Foreordained before the foundation of the world, God had a plan to redeem fallen man. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll manifest my love to man in such a way that it's unmistakable that I love man whom I've created. I'm not just going to send an angel. I'm not going to send some representative from heaven with a suit and a tie and that seems to offer the best professional. No. He said, I'm going to send my only son, Jesus Christ. No wonder in 1 John, and it's not in our text this morning, but no wonder in 1 John chapter 3, the Bible says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Isn't that good news? If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at 1 John chapter 4 this morning, 1 John chapter number 4. I'm going to ask if you're physically able to please stand as we read these words to honor the reading of God's Word. Israel had the congregation stand in the Old Testament. Don't worry, I'll let you sit down in just a few minutes. They stood while he preached until well after noon. Amen. Smile at me. I'm going to let you sit down in a few minutes. Mean old Ezra. 1 John chapter number 4. We're going to begin in verse number 6. And we're going to read a few verses. Make our prayer and then I'll have you seated. 1 John 4 beginning in verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, it's clearly he's writing to Christians, amen? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Sorry, Hollywood, you don't make the definition of love. God does. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. I want to take my text from verse number 14 this morning. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on the greatest missionary that ever lived. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, as men we are fallible. With our best intentions, we can let one another down. But Lord, your words are pure words. There is no error in your book. And so, Lord, we look to you as our final authority for all matters this morning. Lord, this matter of missions, we often complicate. It's really very easy. You sent your Son to be the Savior of the world. And all who believe upon Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, shall be saved. Thank you for your atoning blood on Calvary that pays for our sins. You have sent your Son that He would be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We just read it in your book. Now, Lord Jesus, we ask that you, using your Holy Spirit, sweet Holy Spirit of God, move in our midst. How our hearts need to be stirred in these last days. There's no more time for spectator Christians. We need all reserves in now. Please, help us, Lord, to draw closer to you. More obedient servants than ever. And may Jesus Christ alone be glorified in all that's said and done this day. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. In 1 John, the book of 1 John, the word love is used 45 times. 45 times. Just in the book of 1 John. In all five of John's books, the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, his three epistles, and the book of the Revelation, the word love is used 115 times in all five of those books collectively. In other words, if you look up the word love in the Bible, 25% of the time the word love is used, it was written by God, the Apostle John. So I reckon if we're going to learn about love, I want to read about the disciple that the Bible said is the man whom Jesus loved. The man who leaned on Jesus' breast when they had that supper there in the upper room just before Jesus was crucified. I believe nobody knew more about being able to describe, as best we can describe it with man's lips, the incomparable love of Almighty God. I don't believe anybody's ever explained that in human terms like the Apostle John has. The indescribable love of God. And we have a very good description here in 1 John chapter 4. Now we'll tie this in with missions in just a minute. But I want you to notice also that at least on three different occasions in just the short text that we read, verse 6 through 17, we find the word sent. You see it there in verse number 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent. You see that? Underline that word sent. Sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In our text in verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent, there it is, the Son to be the Savior of the world. That word sent simply implies somebody is being sent, if you will, on a mission. In 1812, a man by the name of Adoniram Judson and his sweet wife Anne boarded a ship off the coast of Massachusetts called the Caravan. And he became the first known missionary sent by the local church to take the gospel of Jesus Christ somewhere else in the world. 1812, Adoniram Judson, just 210 years ago. He and his wife Anne Hazelton Judson sailed the seas and went to what was known then as Burma. It's called Myanmar today. And they took the gospel of Jesus Christ there. Much to the dismay of his citizens, he grew up in an area called Braintree in Massachusetts, which, if you know your history very well, it's where our President John Adams was raised. He grew up in Braintree, and he was one of the most educated men in that area. Most people didn't go to college in those days. They didn't have high schools. Most people couldn't read at all. Adoniram was one of the few people that not only could read, but was very well educated and went to college. When he came back and told the local churches in the Massachusetts area, Rhode Island area, that God has called him to be a missionary to the country of Burma, all the churches immediately tried to talk him out of it. Adoniram, you're the most educated man in this area. We need you here. You could do a great work here. God could use you here, and doubtless that was true, but God called Adoniram to go to Burma. Best we do what God says do, amen? Not popular opinion. And even though the local churches fought him going, when they realized that his mind was made up and he was going, they gave enough support to send him to Burma. When he got to Burma and he was writing home his prayer letters, one or two a year, all you could do back then, the churches would write back and say, "See, Adoniram, we told you you were going to have nothing but trouble there." He was there 10 years and only led 6 souls to Jesus Christ. In today's terms, we'd call that a failure. He lost 3 wives while he was in Burma to malaria and sickness and other diseases. He himself was later thrown in a Burmese jail where he translated the Bible into Burmese. But can I tell you, if you look in your almanac today, you'll find that 4%, that doesn't sound like much, but it represents millions and millions of people over the years, are Christian because Adoniram Judson was sent to Burma. The word sent means mission or missionary. Literally, the word missionary, which I am, means sent. Sent on a mission. There's plenty of Bible examples. I jotted a couple of down here in my notes. You could come up with hundreds of them. Remember in Genesis chapter 19, God sent 2 angels. And they said, we are sent to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They're on a mission. And they fulfilled that mission. Amen? In Genesis chapter 28, we find where Jacob sends his son, or Isaac sends his son Jacob, and says, look, don't take any wives of the Canaanites. I'm going to send you to Paddan Aram, and I want you to take a wife of the daughters of Laban. And he fulfilled that mission. From whom we get the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, I might add. Amen. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses asked God, you remember the argument that Moses tried to have with God in trying to get out of this mission on which God was sending him to free his people Israel. And Moses finally told God, when I get to Israel, whom should I tell them sent me? And this is what God said to them in Exodus chapter 3. He said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the I am hath sent me. The I am hath sent me. May I say to you, Grace Baptist Church, when you go into the neighborhoods of Bridgeport, West Virginia, and the surrounding area, where you go and you witness, or at work, or at school, or wherever you may witness, and someone asks, whose authority are you here, or who sent you to give me this message? You can simply say, the I am hath sent me, amen? Because he has. And we'll get into that in more detail in just a minute. In Ezekiel chapter 3, God told Ezekiel, he gave Ezekiel a tough message. I'd hate to have to preach Ezekiel's message to Baptist churches across America. I don't know if my support would be very good. But he told Ezekiel, I want you to go to the people of Israel and tell them judgment and destruction is coming upon you for your wickedness. How's my offering doing? I'd hate to be Ezekiel. But he obeyed that command. God sent him and Ezekiel obeyed. On and on we could go, but the word sent means missionary. Missionary on a mission. We use the word ambassador, but really, if you look up the old English word, it starts with an E, ambassador, where we get our word embassy, which starts with an E, which means one who is sent by the state or by authority on a mission with a message. The word sent means missionary, and the word missionary means sent. Now, with all of that groundwork laid, let me just say this. The gospel is easy. We don't have to complicate the gospel. I didn't say getting people to believe the gospel is easy. If it were, amen, we'd have a lot more people in the pews this morning across the churches of America. But I said the gospel is easy. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 10, now listen carefully because there's a question at the end of this I'm going to ask you to answer. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, in the next verse he says, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sounds easy, right? Now here comes the questions. And by the way, may I preface this by saying this to you. Anytime the Bible asks a question, answer it. But here's the caveat. Only answer it with more Bible. Amen? Don't answer it with your feelings. Don't answer it on what you think is right or what some TV preacher said. Answer it with Bible. But these are easy rhetorical questions to answer. So in verse 13 we just read, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14 says this, how then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? That's a rhetorical question. They can't do it. Amen? And the next question, how then shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? They can't do it. Amen? Rhetorical question. 3,000 people groups in the world today have never had a single page of the Bible, have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel in their language. 3,000 people groups. So, how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And verse 15 says this, and how can they preach except they be sent? They can't. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of great things. I was looking at that verse and studying for this, and I thought to myself, if I were to take my shoes off, don't worry, I'm not going to do that. I'd lose half the congregation. Pastor would not be happy with that. But if I were to take my shoes and socks off, and you were to look, you would say, those are not beautiful feet. My wife's amening right now. I mean, feet typically are not something that we say, boy, you just have the most beautiful feet I've ever seen. It's just not something I hear in conversation. They're just not pretty to look at. They're kind of smelly. But what are we talking about here? God's not talking about literal feet. He's using a metaphor. The word feet means go, implies going somewhere because you're sent on a mission. Remember, how can they be preach except they be sent? And then it says, how beautiful are the feet of them. It's not talking about the literal feet. It's talking about those who go in God's mission. May I say to you, Grace Baptist Church, young people listening to me today, may I say to you, the key to happiness in life will never be found in money. Gets real quiet right about then. The key to happiness in your life, young people, will never be found in trying to find self-fulfillment. You'll never reach that goal. You'll be frustrated and die bitterly. The only possible way to have fulfillment of soul is to fulfill the purpose for which God made you. And God made you unique for a reason. There are people all over this room that can reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ that Pastor Vaughn or myself could never reach. That's why He made you unique. He gave you a circle of influence that Pastor Vaughn and myself and other members of the church could never have. And so God needs all of us participating. Just because the missionary is going to a foreign field doesn't mean that you're exonerated from your job of reaching your circle of influence for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are sent, child of God, to those with whom you come in contact. Now, with that said, let me just talk about the greatest missionary ever for just a minute. You know it already. It's Jesus Christ. Look at our text again in verse 14. Then we're going to look at a couple other verses. And we have seen, remember John the Apostle saw Him, and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ was the greatest missionary who ever lived. Who sent Him? God the Father. When did He make that decision? From before the foundation of the world. For what purpose? I'm glad you asked. We're going to get into that in just a minute. But let me take you to a few verses first. First of all, in John chapter 4, after Jesus had witnessed to the lady at the well, the woman at the well, and the disciples ask Him, you know, where are you going to get food to eat? We're out here in the middle of nowhere. He says that my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, my entire reason for being here is not to build my own castle, and it's not to build my own portfolio. It's not to live a comfortable life. I wish somebody helped me preach this morning. Amen. It is to fulfill the purpose for which God the Father hath sent me and to finish His work. May I say to you, that would be the desire of Mike Ferris this morning. Not to do what I want to do, but to fulfill the purpose for which God has sent me to this earth to tell others of His glorious salvation. He saved me. He saved my soul from hell. Why would I not want everyone to have that? If I were standing here today and I had not some serum, not some aid, not some antibody, but if I had, which I don't, but if I had in my hand the cure for COVID, the absolute cure, folks would be lining up. Doubtless we could charge admission to give it. Amen? And yet you have the cure for a soul's not just temporary health here on earth, but the everlasting soul. You have the cure through Jesus Christ, who was sent to be the propitiation for our sins. We just read it. Greatest missionary that ever lived was Jesus Christ. Now let's look at a couple of these verses real quick. Hold your finger in 1 John 4 because we'll come back there. Go with me to Galatians chapter 4. And I'm really just cherry picking. There are a lot of verses. I would challenge you to study all the places in the Bible where you can find where God sent His Son. We're just going to look at a few. And there are some verses even better than these. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Very quickly now, verse 3 and 4. Paul writing to the church at Galatia here. Galatians 4, verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent. You see that word? God sent. God had a mission. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Glory, hallelujah. Aren't you glad Jesus fulfilled His mission? Because if He didn't, you and I would yet be in our sins. We would be of all men most miserable. I'm glad Jesus Christ fulfilled His mission. But His mission was not to heal blind men and to make lame men walk and to raise the dead. He simply did that to prove His authority. That's all that was for. That was not His mission. His mission was to seek and to save that which was lost. The Pharisees, it blew their mind. They didn't mind Him healing people. What they hated was they didn't do it according to their law. And so they had Him crucified on an old rugged cross. See, God's never interested in doing anything our way. He's going to do it His way. What you and I need to do is set self aside and get in on what He's doing, not ask God to get in on what we're doing. Can I get a witness this morning? God has sent us as He sent His Son. When the fullness of time was come, at just the perfect time, those angels came and presented themselves to the shepherds and said that Jesus Christ would be born in a manger in Bethlehem. Amen. At just the right time in history, He sent His Son to fulfill that mission. And at just the right time in history, Jesus Christ went to the cross on the day of Passover. Just the right day. Amen. When the Lamb was slain, the Lamb of God. And 3 days later, He got up at just the right time and walked out of that tomb. Amen? And He lives forevermore to intercede for us. Why? Because God sent Him on a mission to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, go with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And by the way, Luke chapter 4 is a tremendous missions message. My wife has heard me preach this on numerous occasions, but it's not the message. But I will steal one of the verses from the text because it's excellent. Luke chapter number 4, look with me at verse 18. This is Jesus speaking here. Luke 4, verse 18. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and hath what?" What's the word? "Sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And lastly, look at John 17. John 17. John chapter 17, look beginning in verse 18. John chapter 17. We're just cherry picking here. Many places where Jesus talks about how God the Father sent Him to fulfill a mission. Verse 18, John 17. "As Thou hast sent Me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." You see that, church? That's a direct reference to you and I. I realize He's speaking to His disciples, but if you name the name Christian, you're saying I am a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ. And as God the Father sent Him, so sends Jesus you and I into the world. "And for their sakes, I sanctify Myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me." You know what my job is as a missionary? You've hired me, church, to do it. You've hired me to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the military. Now, I don't have the power to save anybody. My chaplains don't have the power to save anybody. We don't have the ability to make anything grow. All we have the power to do is be obedient to sow the seed of the Word of God into the soil of men's souls. Paul said, "I have planted and Apollos has watered, but who gives the increase?" God gave the increase. Listen to me. Only God can take that which is dead. I'm talking about the soul. Only God can take that which is dead and make it alive again. That's what he meant when Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, "And ye hath he quickened Who were, that means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You say you could be a completely alive, you could have a PhD, you could make good money, you can take good care of your family, you can be a wonderful American taxpaying citizen, you can defend your nation, you can be an honorable husband and father and mother and wife, you can take good care of your children, be good to your neighbors, give money to charity and go to church and spend eternity in hell. It's not through your good works of righteousness. It's only through Him that the Father sent are you and I ever going to get to heaven or anybody else. We can't believe for them. So God has sent us into the world that the world might believe. Now I quoted that verse to you earlier from 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. But I stopped there. The verse does not end there. Check me out. The verse says, therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Don't expect that you're going into a profession where everybody's just going to be so happy to see you at their front door. Don't expect that you're going to be in some kind of ministry and doing some kind of business where everybody you talk to at work or at play or at the restaurant or wherever you may be is just going to be oh so happy that you mentioned Jesus Christ to them. You're not my judge. Judge not, lest ye be judged. You ever heard that one? My answer to that is, you're right. I'm not your judge, nor would I want to be. But I know who is. And I know the book by which He will judge you. We're living in a day and age where everybody thinks they're saved. You don't believe that? Just go door to door with me around America. It don't matter if I'm in Florida, Pastor. Maryland, California, West Virginia, doesn't matter where. Almost every door I knock on. Oh, yeah, I'm saved. Yeah. Yeah, I had one guy tell me I'm sixth generation saved. That's what he said. Fantastic. You just get grandfathered in. I didn't realize that. I had somebody tell me recently that when the rapture takes place, everybody in their house, even if they're not saved, is going to go to heaven because they're saved. That is contrary to the Word of God. Amen. God the Father has sent the Son for one reason. To pay for your sin and mine, because you and I have no way to pay for our sin. Not only our sin, but the sins of the whole world. Somebody needs to tell a lost world about Jesus. And may I just say this as an aside? I don't preach politics. God didn't call me to preach politics. He called me to preach the gospel. But I say this because of conversations I've had with so many church members over the last couple of years. We have become so consumed. Absolutely. I'm talking about God's people now. So consumed by everything that's going on around us that we've forgotten to be consumed with the mission and Him who sent us. Amen? Pastor Vaughn didn't have me come here today to Grace Baptist Church to tell you, look, Grace, things are bad. I mean, it's bad. I mean, it's just, this administration's awful. And I mean, it's just the world is just going to hell in a handbasket. And I mean, the United States, I just don't know what's happening to us. I mean, we just might as well, the flag's gone. I don't know what's happening. It's just bad. You're dismissed, church. No wonder we're taking depression pills. You with me? You know why the world's lost hope? Because they've got their eyes off the giver of hope. My friend, if you want to have revival in America, and I can prove this to you in the Scriptures, it's not going to come because we have the right man in the White House. It's because we're doing what God told us to do in the church house. That's when we'll have revival in America. And we want to complain about who's in the White House and, oh, I hate this and I hate that. But my friend, the judgment of God begins in His church. Check me out in the Scriptures. Well, let's look at a couple of quick things and then I got to dismiss. I got 374 points here, but I can't preach them all. I want you to notice God's mission. Why did God, why would He do this? Why would God, as Philippians 2 say, make Himself of no reputation? Humble Himself. Be made in the likeness of, to be conformed to a servant and made in the likeness of men, born in a filthy cattle stall in Bethlehem. Why would God of glory, the God of glory, do that? Why? Not only that, but He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why would God make man, you and I, out of clay and a little bit of water, and then allow that clay to spit in his face, plait a crown of thorns upon his head, drive nails through his hands and his feet. Why would God, our Maker, why would He do that? And then have to cry on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why would God do that? May I say to you, I'm looking at the reason. He did it for you, sir, and for you, ma'am, and you, sir, and you, ma'am, and the souls of everyone on this earth. 8 billion people now. Who's going to be sent to tell them? Who's going to be sent to tell them? We could just throw up our hands and say, let somebody else take care of that. I'm just going to live my life in my own little castle. Good luck with that come judgment day. Our commander-in-chief has given us a command, and I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before him disobedient. I want you to notice, first of all, the motive. The motive, why God did this. Look at verse 9 and 10 of our text in 1 John 4. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Here it is. Here's the demonstration. Here's the why. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. 1 John 4, verse 9. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. May I say to you, I prayed with your pastor in a room back here before services start this morning. You know, I heard him pray, and I didn't show him my notes what I was going to preach. I heard him pray, not that we loved you, Lord, but that you loved us. He was quoting verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, if you will, for our sins. There's the motive. Herein is love. God's the maker of love. He's the source of love. Young ladies, if you're looking for real love, I don't suggest you check it out on the Hallmark Channel or Hollywood. They don't have the answer. Young men, you want a love that'll last? I mean a love that'll mean something. I mean a love that will get you through the difficult times when trials and tribulations come your way and shake you. The divorce rate in our military today is near 80%. I can stand here and tell you that I've stood in the offices of commanding officers and XOs, executive officers, who have looked me in the eye and said, Mr. Ferris, would you please go to churches across America and tell them that the divorce rate is killing our ability to be combat ready in the field? Yeah. Why? Because we've forgotten what marriage is. Marriage is a picture, Ephesians chapter 5, of Christ and the church. There's no quits. There's no put it in the microwave and if it doesn't come out right, throw it away and do it again. No. No. There's only the picture of Christ and the church and being sent, because herein is love. Herein is love. God is the source of love. Young men, young ladies, you want real love? I can tell you the source of love is God Himself. He'll provide love for you when nobody else is around. Can my wife and I testify to you tonight? He's the meaning of love. Can I say to you, on February the 12th, 1984, as a United States Marine, I walked into the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Swansboro, North Carolina. On that February the 12th, I was not at church because I loved God and I was looking for something. I was there because God loved me. And by His grace, I walked out of that church, walked in a child of the devil, walked out a child of the King, saved by His grace. Old Pastor Steve Wakefield got up. God bless Pastor Wakefield, one of my dearest friends in all the earth. Pastor Wakefield got up, began to preach, and the veins popped out on his neck and his face turned red. And after about 5 minutes, I began to say, who is this guy mad at? Then after about 10 minutes, I said, why is he mad at me? He doesn't even know me. You know what that is? It's called conviction. Listen to me, soul, listen to me today. Don't run from that. Run to it. Run to it. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. When the Holy Spirit's pricking your heart, run to the conviction, not away from it. I wanted to run away from it. After about 10 minutes, I thought, why is he mad at me? And after about 15 minutes, I was getting mad at my wife because I thought, she has talked to him and he's told her, she's told him everything.
Amen.
That's what I thought. Till the old Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart and said, look, reprobate, I'm about to turn you over to a reprobate mind. But thank God for his sweet grace that day, that he sent his Holy Spirit on a mission. And that mission was fulfilled when Mike Ferris got on his knees in Pastor Wakefield's study on that old black leather couch. I can remember it was yesterday. And this big strapping United States Marine bawled his eyes out on that couch and said, God, I'm not worthy of saving, but you said if I called upon you, you'd save me. And brother, the load of the world was lifted off of my shoulders. My sins are gone. The chains fell off. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. I'm going to heaven when I die. Why? Because Jesus was sent on a mission. And he fulfilled it. I'm so glad he fulfilled the mission. You? I wonder how many. If we were to take a pin, and like you stick in a corkboard, and stick a pin in this spot, Grace Baptist Church, and just drew a 5-mile radius around this church, I wonder how many thousands of people right now are sitting at home wondering if what life's worth the living. You know West Virginia leads the nation in opioid deaths per capita? Did you know that the second leading cause of death among teenagers in this state as well as in America is suicide? Did you know one of the fastest growing causes of death among preteens aged 10 to 12, listen to me church, is suicide. There's no hope when God sent his son to deliver hope. Why is there no hope? Because we're so busy being consumed with everything that's around us. My wife and I passed the, whatever they call that sports complex, the bridge, is that what it's called? In Bridgeport on the way here. Parking lots were jam-packed full on our way here this morning. Jam-packed full. We're consumed with everything except the only thing that means anything to your eternity. I'm not against having a good time. I'm for it. I'm for my kids playing ball. We went to a grandson's ball game this week and a granddaughter's softball game Friday night. Yelled and screamed like banshees, amen? Yelled at the umpires, did everything good Christians do. What do you mean that was a strike? You've never seen a strike in your life. At least when my granddaughter's batting anyway. You with me, church? But when it comes to doing what God says to do, I'd rather be in his will than mine. Amen? The motive. Why did God do what he did? Because he loves you. I can't make it any more complicated than that, Pastor. I haven't the ability in the English language to write it any differently. The songwriter said it this way. If we could fill the ocean with ink and were the skies of parchment made, if every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure through saints and angels' song. I'm telling you, my friend, the greatest love you could ever give somebody is to tell them about Jesus. That's why you were sent. That's why Jesus was sent. There's the motive. He's the maker of love. He's the meaning of love. We just read he's the manifestation of love. In this was manifested, verse 9, the love of God. You know what that means? That means the demonstration of love. My mom said, always told me, and she's 90 years old, still tells me to this day, she says, son, I love it when you tell me you love me, but I'd a whole lot rather you show it. Did God show that he loves us? He didn't just say it, did he? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then that next verse I love that we often miss. For God sent, missionary. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's our purpose, church. That's our purpose. Well, let me finish quickly because I'm out of time. There's the motive. One of the earmarks of a Christian is that we're motivated by what God loves. If God's our Father and He loves that, then we ought to love that. His desire should become our desire. I can't make it any more complicated than that. That's what missions is. There's the Messiah, verse 9 and 10. And this was manifested in the love of God toward us because that God sent His only begotten Son. Look at verse 10. Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice. May I say, Jesus Christ has the authority to pay for your sins. He's the only one who does. Do you know, the Pharisees looked at Jesus when He sat in that sinner's house. And He said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Remember what the Pharisees said? "Who is this man that blasphemeth? Only God can forgive sins." The Pharisees were right. Only God can forgive sins. What the Pharisees didn't realize is they were staring God in the face. Amen. For Jesus Christ is God. Amen. And He has sent His Holy Spirit into the believer. If you're saved today, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. If it doesn't, you're none of His. That's what Romans chapter 8 says. The Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of you. And may I say to you, it's the Holy Spirit's desire to reproduce. Only the Holy Spirit can take that which is dead and make it alive again. And if you're saved, you have the seed in you that can reproduce more Christians. There's the motive, there's the Messiah, and lastly, there's the mission. Verse 17, look at it and I'll close. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world." As He is. As is the character of our Savior, so should we be. Why did He come, Brother Ferris? To seek and to save that which is lost. What should we do at Grace Baptist Church, Brother Ferris? Go seek and save that which is lost. Starting right here in your Jerusalem, and as you send missionaries according to the Word of God throughout the world for that same purpose, to see people saved. It's the mission. It's the likeness of the Savior. Do you know that Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you"? As the Father has sent me, for the same reason God sent me, because He loved the world, so send I you. That's why He said, "Go ye therefore." The mission, to leave self for service. Can I just say it this way to you? You don't make a contract with God. Seems like Christians do that today. "God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do this for you." You'll be bitter all your life. The thing you need to do, child of God, this morning and throughout this missions emphasis month, is come down to an old-fashioned altar, hand God a blank piece of paper and sign it and say, "God, you fill it in. Whatever you want's good with me." You'll find happiness and joy and peace like you've never known. Just ask a missionary. Our commander said, "Go." Does the love of God dwell in you? Here in His love. Not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and has sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know, the amazing thing is, He sent His Son to die for us. All He asks us to do is live for Him. Amen? We don't serve some religion where you got to strap a bomb to yourself and go blow yourself up. Thank God for that. Amen? What a mess I'd make. You with me, church? All God asks is, and then the rewards are out of this world. Amazing. I'm just asking a question, church. It's a simple question. It's not a tear-jerking question. It doesn't come with a tear-jerking story. It's a simple but profound question. One day you're going to stand before this missionary, Jesus Christ, who fulfilled His mission. Do you want to report to Him that you fulfilled yours? Do you want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Everyone in this room may not have the same talent, but everyone in this room can do something that none of the rest of us might do, and that is everyone in this room can be faithful. Everyone in this room can be faithful. Faith does not require a talent. It just requires faith. Does the love of God dwell in you? If it does, then you want to live like He lived and love like He loved and be sent to tell others of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank You that You fulfilled Your mission. Lord, we confess to You freely now that our nation is in the shape that it is because we have failed to fulfill the mission that You sent us. You told Israel before they came into the land of promise that they would occupy houses that they builded not. They would acquire vineyards that they planted not. Blessings, a land flowing with milk and honey. But You gave them a warning and You said, "Beware, lest thou forget the Lord thy God that brought thee out of the land of Egypt." And Lord, Israel forgot. They're still Your people. They're still the apple of Your eye. But You had to scatter them. And Gentiles have ruled the earth now for almost 2,500 years because they disobeyed. Lord, we're not to gloat in that. You had a plan for the stranger, for the Gentile, and thank God for that. We are living testimonies of that today. So Lord, now in the New Testament, You've called Your church. And yea, in America, You have given us blessings indeed, a land flowing with more natural resources than any nation has ever known. But to whom much is given, much is required. And Lord, we confess before You that we have failed as a nation to fulfill the mission that You've given us, and we're already seeing the judgment of God upon our nation. But Lord, You are all merciful. And You've proven time and time again that if we will turn from You, turn to You, Lord, that You will turn from Your fierce wrath. Please, before it's too late for our country, would You get a hold of the hearts of Your people? And Lord, drive us lovingly to the mission for which You've sent us, to seek and to save that which is lost. Thank You, Lord, that You're the propitiation for our sins. Thank You that You paid it all with Your perfect blood. We love You, Lord, and I thank You for what You're about to do in this time of invitation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't believe in long invitations.